In our section entitled Fantasy, we shall look briefly at Epstein's King of the Jews and Spiegelman's cartoon Mouse. By using cartoon figures to present the Holocaust, Spiegelman creates in his Mouse books a wildly inventive bibliocosm that invites us to look on the major topoi, or themes, of the Holocaust from a radically different formal perspective. Mice are Spiegelman's vehicles for exploring the 20th century history of Europe from 1935 to 1945, and his own history as a survivor's son from 1948, the year of his birth. As we read Volume 1, we become accustomed to a world in which the Jews depicted as mice live among Poles who are depicted as pigs but are seldom seen except in a barely sketched background in one frame of the first chapter of Volume 1, a chapter that concerns private life leading up to his marriage, February 14, 1937. Depicting the Jews as mice emphasizes their position as others, as those consigned to live apart in their mouse holes, and those consigned to live apart from the German cats. As Spiegelman depicts the mice in bed or at dinner, we become accustomed to them as illuminating distortions who speak as humans. Gradually, we accept that these mice with human features, except for tails usually hidden by clothes, think, feel, and love as if they were humans, for they are. They return the humanity of which the Germans, who label them, quote, vermin, unquote, and sought to exterminate them, wished to deprive them. The last syllable, quote, rat, of the often collaborationist and betraying Judenrat also suggests the more benign term, quote, mouse, unquote. Perhaps the absence of tails at first tellingly indicates that the metamorphosis is progressive. Until we see swastikas on cats, there are no mice tails. The pictures and words combine for a subtle psychology of character worthy of a modern novel. Unlike the mice in Disney cartoons, who are buffeted by disaster and come back again to life again and again, we soon realize that these mice stay dead. At the top of the acknowledgement and copyright page of Volume 2 of Mouse, following a double title page, we find a quotation from a newspaper article that appeared in the Pomerania, Germany newspaper in the mid-30s. Quote, Mickey Mouse is the most miserable ideal ever revealed. Healthy emotions tell every independent young man and every honorable youth that the dirty and filth-covered vermin, the greatest bacteria carrier in the animal kingdom, cannot be the ideal type of animal. Away with Jewish brutalization of the people. Down with Mickey Mouse. Wear the swastika cross. Unquote. Clearly, in addition to the obvious metaphor that the Nazis as cats toyed with the Jews as powerless mice, this linkage of mice and Jews from Nazi propaganda was one source of Spiegelman's inspiration. Even as Spiegelman's characters see themselves as human, we see them as mice and cats within an imagined world in which different nationalities are presented as different animals. Spiegelman's black and white frames, his lack of nominalistic detail in facial expressions and shapes, and the sparseness of dialogue paradoxically invite the experienced reader to fill in details by drawing upon his or her own experience of the Holocaust while presenting the crystallizing themes in lucid and graphic form to those who are less aware of history, whether because of age or knowledge. Spiegelman varies his style from the understated style that matches his father's rather understated, even anesthetized tone, to the expressionist hyperbole and manic energy of the insert entitled, quote, Prisoner on the Hell Planet, A Case History, unquote, which depicts a younger Spiegelman in a mental hospital after his mother dies and shows him wearing the striped uniform of concentration camp inmates. Not only are the characters in the inserts humans, but the inserts includes photographs. In particular, a photograph of Art and his mother on vacation in 1958. The occasional photographs not only reconnect the figures to our human world, but deliberately call attention to the creative intelligence behind the metaphoricity of the mouse trope. In Volume 2, he includes photographic inserts of his brother Rishu in the dedication and at the end of his father in the striped camp uniform. Yet Spiegelman stresses that the picture of Vladek, taken after his release when he had returned to physical health, is staged in a souvenir shop in front of a curtain and is, like his own cartoons, an illuminating distortion, a performance. In their use of comic book forms, the mouse books are experimental, postmodern, and radical. Why do the characters wearing animal masks move us? We might think at first that the mice masks would remove the characters from our empathy and sympathy. Yet as fellow humans in a cartoon universe, rather than a category of their own, the characters wearing mice masks but having recognizable human experience within a history which we recognize paradoxically become all too human and engage our sympathies. After all, have we not seen presidents and kings in contemporary cartoons? Buffeted about by a history that we cannot control and that often repels us, do we at times not feel like the cartoon Jews in Spiegelman's tale? Why does the carnivalesque nature of cartoon reality, the implied mockery of pretension, successfully realize the Holocaust in such diverse works as Applefield's Badenheim 1939 and Epstein's King of the Jews, as well as in Mouse? Yet when laughing, do we not feel empathetic with the victims and slightly complicit with the perpetrators? Do we not, as readers, and especially those of us who are Jewish readers, occupy a moral borderland in which we are the crossing guards, the Judenrat? Finally, are not the mouse books effective in part because they upset us in their form as well as in their content? Another example of the strong preeminence of the visual in Mouse is the way that the character Art, the cartoonist, presents himself in 1987. After the success of Mouse 1 and 5 years after the death of his father in 1982, the cartoonist feels very small and depicts himself as metamorphosizing in stages into a tiny infantile child mouse. Quote, I want my mommy, unquote. He retains that small size when he visits the psychiatrist. In his insecurity after the publishing triumph of Volume 1, Art, the narrator, Spiegelman's surrogate, doubts himself and feels not like a Jew, but like a person posing as a Jew. In the scene in which he is a dwarf mouse in the psychiatrist's office, both he and the psychiatrist wear masks. We might recall the deft visual rendering of the Beckett-like dialogue between the psychiatrist, himself a Czech Jew and a survivor of Terezin and Auschwitz, when he depicts himself as a little mouse boy of about 3 in a big chair. His miniature version of his mouse self exclaims, quote, Samuel Beckett once said, quote, every word is like an unnecessary stain on silence and on nothingness, unquote. Following a humorous frame in which the two smoke in self-absorbed silence, in the next frame, Art looks up and says, quote, on the other hand, he said it, unquote. When the psychiatrist, perhaps not fully grasping Art's point, responds, quote, he was right, maybe you can include it in your book, quote, unquote, Art gloomily retreats, quote, my book, ha, what book? Some part of me doesn't want to draw or think about Auschwitz. I can't visualize it clearly. I can't begin to imagine what it felt like, unquote. The Jews are systematically deprived of their humanity until they become toys for the German cats. Mouse begins when Spiegelman's father is making his way in the world, marrying comfortably and living a life in which private concerns dominate. But his life, his story, is invaded and overwhelmed by history. Spiegelman thus has a double focus. One, his father's increasingly grim retrospect of personal narrative of the wartime years, and two, his often humorous but poignant present relationship with his caring but intrusive father.